I love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. John Drennan here with my friend, longtime Michigan fan, as I am, Bill Radford. And it's a great day to be talking about the Detroit Lions. By the way, our routine's a little different. Usually, Bill, you kick it off, and I'm kicking it off. Everyone, I've been on the road for over a week. I watched the game in Michigan with friends who are also Michigan or Lions fans, and that was fun. And so now I'm sitting currently in Toledo, Ohio, as we're starting to make the trip back. It's been a road trip for my wife and me. And Bill, I know you're a little bit out of routine because you're not feeling so hot, man. You got the shingles. But fortunately, the Lions game brings some positive to that. But how you doing? Let me go out to you.
Well, I'm playing hurt. Let's put it that way. But you have to do that. At this point in the football season, everybody's hurt. So I'll just start off with kudos to the Lions, especially the defense. Kelvin Shepherd really, really had a plan. And kudos to those guys in the secondary. I was thinking of Robertson especially. And some of these guys have never played football at this level in a game. I mean, they've been on the practice squad, so they're playing like that. But they haven't played at this level, and they just balled out. I mean, they were great. Because Tampa Bay came in there with Baker Mayfield being touted as the leading candidate for the NFL MVP and just shut him down. Of course, they had a lot of help from the offense or defensive line. Hutchinson with a lot of pressures. They had a sack early. Jack Campbell played really well. So kudos to the defense, and wonder what you thought about that.
Well, Bill, I was blown away by the defensive effort and the defensive backfield. I mean, we know Meek Robinson's the real deal, but beyond that, it was patchwork and guys that, you know, literally joined the team 2 weeks ago or were on the practice squad, hadn't played it down in a real game this year. Not one, but several. So I thought that defensive performance was as good as anything I've ever seen. I mean, I was blown away. So I love that. There just shouldn't ever be any more talk about, oh, we miss Aaron Glenn. He's obviously struggling as the Jets head coach and obviously did a great job when he was here. But I tell you, Bill, that defensive effort and, you know, it started with the front. Well, you and I were talking, Hutch has more pressures than any other player in the NFL. Coming off his broken leg from a year ago. And I believe he's got 40, and I think the next closest is 32. So he's dominating that. And what about Aleem McNeil being back, Bill? What a bull.
Yeah, that was good too. He had a good game. You know, he was one of the lowest PFF graded defensive players, but his grade wasn't that low.
You're right.
Is almost 60. So that's, you know, that's above average. So for his first game back, I thought that was great. And Muhammad, the same thing. The defensive line really helped out cornerbacks and safeties. But Strickland had a great game. Robertson had a great game. Hollett made a great play. Forget the other guy's name, starts with an M.
Malut or Malat.
Yeah, he had a significant play as well. Rock Yassine knocked a receiver out of bounds, preventing a catch. So there were plays all over the field by the defense. And it seemed like that one drive that Tampa had kept getting elongated by penalties, real or imaginary, from the referees. And yet, they held them out. You know, they kept running into fourth down, and they stopped them. So I couldn't have been more impressed with the defense. The offense, on the other hand, not so much, other than Gibbs. Gibbs was fabulous. Well, I shouldn't say other than Gibbs, because what it takes is great offensive line play, and no surprise, three of the offensive linemen were the highest graded players on the offense. Ratledge, Decker, and Sewell, Sewell being the highest. And then the other two highly rated offensive players were Gibbs and St. Brown, which no surprise there. But yeah, Gibbs had a day. Haven't been able to get Montgomery going like he did earlier in the year, but he's still averaging 4.6 a carry, which is good. But I was reading that Montgomery is facing an eight-man front the vast majority of the time. So when he's in the game, that's, if it's a traditional defensive setup, they have four D-line, three linebackers, and a safety in the box. And part of that is because Jamison hasn't been able to get open downfield to stretch the defense and scare him. So they are able to put eight men in the box. Now, I don't know why they don't have that against Gibbs. Maybe because he's more of a threat in the pass game. But I thought the offense played below their capabilities. I was glad to see Bates recover from his missed field goal with a barely made 58-yarder that grazed the goalpost. Baker Mayfield thought he missed it. He was wrong. He was wrong about a lot on Sunday. What did you think of the offensive performance?
Well, first, Baker Mayfield had a lot of reasons to be frustrated. And I want to go back to the defense for a minute, because I think his passer rating was under 70, or at least it was through a great portion of the game. And Mayfield was not what he has been. And you always say, well, that's because of the defense. And it's hard to quantify that. Was he just kind of off, or was he off because he was badly pressured? He was sacked. And so, yeah, he was off. And he had a lot to be frustrated about. But I do want to stay for a minute, too, with the PFF grades, Bill. And again, for people who don't know, that stands for Professional Football Focus. And it's actually a group that rates every player, every play of every game. And on the defensive side, you mentioned like McNeil, Muhammad, they were in the bottom five, but they still had good grades. But on the best, number one at 83.9 was Nick Whiteside. For gosh sakes, he was on the practice squad last week. Or before, the week before, played at Saginaw Valley State, hasn't played a down this year in the seven games. Second was Jack Campbell, just below Whiteside. He had a phenomenal game. And then it was Hutchinson, DJ Reader, but then Lauren Strickland at 78. So again, guys just filling in. And then on the offensive side, which you asked about, you mentioned the grades. The positive grades, and on the low end, Jared Goff had the lowest, 37.4. Jared Goff wasn't that good. And what I love about being able to make that statement is the Lions still win and to a degree dominate a very good team. And Goff has maybe his worst game overall. Jameson Williams, 46.6. You know, he had no targets. I guess he had one, but a penalty took that away. Montgomery's score was low. Laporta, I'm not sure he had a ball thrown to him, maybe one or two. So it was not their best effort. And Bill, you know, you and I have talked, this is the third game in a row they haven't had that good of an offensive output. And I just feel like that's a bomb waiting to go off. I mean, the Lions offense is loaded, but we just haven't seen it the last 3 weeks. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the bye couldn't come at a better time.
Right.
You know, they're 5-2. I think they'll beat Minnesota. We'll talk about that next week, which will put them at 6-2 and go along with your 3 out of 4 of the first two sections of the season. But yeah, the bye's coming at a good time for the defense. There's always aches and pains, and they can get some things straightened out on the offense. I want to talk about Coach Campbell a little bit. You know, I'm a big fan. I think he's a terrific coach. I think he's created a winning culture that's going to last along with the general manager. But there were a couple of things that I want to bring up. One positive and one negative. And I think you disagree with me on the negative, but we can get into that. On the positive, everybody was just really flummoxed about that challenge when he challenged that Tampa didn't make the line to gain when it was second down. So Mayfield nearly got sacked and then passed the ball and the guy got tackled and everybody's wondering, what the heck are you doing? And I thought it was brilliant because I'm giving him credit for this. The Lions were gassed on defense and he could have called timeout, but a timeout lasts what, 45 seconds and they're right back to it. But if you do a challenge, which you get two, if you do a challenge, that's going to take 3 or 4 minutes. And the defense can rest and be recharged a little bit for the next play. And he didn't admit that. He said, yeah, that was a boneheaded play. But he's not a boneheaded guy. So I think that was some very astute coaching. The thing I disagree with is
before you go on, you know, we're a couple of fans and here you are making a comment that I think is a very astute comment. I mean, I hadn't thought of that, but I thought, you know, that may be the case. And if so, that's brilliant. So I just love that you had that insight and that, you know, that might've been the strategy. And anyhow, I love the call too, but go on.
I have a problem with the fourth down calls. They're ahead 7-0. It's 4th and 2. I think you kick for the field goal, but if you don't kick for the field goal, just try to get the first down. And that's my opinion. Instead, they go for the touchdown. There was interference that wasn't called, but you know, that happens a lot. Interference doesn't get called. So I would have rather had the points there. But then the other fourth down call that I disagree with is the one to Jahmyr Gibbs near midfield later in the game. And he made it. He made it with just a Herculean effort. He could have been tackled behind the line to gain. And he fought and fought and he made it.
So wasn't that the play that Montgomery pitched to him again?
It might have been.
Yeah, yeah, he got hit behind the line and spun and clawed and got it. But that was, I believe, a fourth down. And it was a play we saw in Chicago. And
boy, in Chicago, it was St. Brown pitching to Gibbs.
Okay, I think this time it was Montgomery pitched it. But what a great effort by Gibbs. But anyhow.
It was a great effort. And he got the first down. But, you know, then they went. They had three more downs. They had to punt. And my point is, just because you make the first down doesn't mean that it's going to pay off with anything of significance. I mean, down at the goal line, if you make the first down, you're much more likely to get a touchdown, but you may still have to settle for a field goal. And you make the first down at midfield and you end up having to punt anyway. So the positive that you can get from going on the first down doesn't, to me, outweigh the negative if you don't make it. If you don't make it, you've given them a short field and you've pumped them up and they're saying, all right, here's our chance, let's go. But you punt the ball like they ended up doing anyway. I think they only got maybe three more yards. You punt the ball and now they're inside the 10 and they've got to go 90 yards. And we talked about this last week. I think that's what they should have done with Kansas City.
Yeah, and
But
Bill, to our listeners, you and I were going back and forth via text at that point in the game, and I'm sure our listeners have their own opinions. I love that they went for it, and I love that they threw to Tesla because I feel like he catches anything in his radius. You could see the D-back hold him, and it looked like it was enough to slow him enough. That might have been a perfect throw, although the throw looked long, but again, he was held, but you're right. Those calls aren't always made. It wasn't as blatant as some. And so, they didn't score on it. But I at that point in the game, too, I was thinking, I definitely get your point. If you're going to go for the first or keep the ball, get the first down and burn up some more clock. Because at that point, Bill, I'm thinking what I think a lot of people were that. We want to keep the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands, and especially with this patched up D back. Well, the more the Bucks got the ball, the more I'm thinking, this is good. Our defensive backs are just kicking butt. And
yeah, we didn't know they were gonna have an all world performance. So,
for the whole game.
right. Yeah, that if we'd have known that, we'd have kicked the field goal for sure.
Yeah. But after, as the game went on, I was feeling like I sure wish we were t ahead 10 nothing, not 7 nothing. So, I don't think there's a right and a wrong. And I certainly don't disagree with you. While I did like the throw to Tesla, it didn't give, as you said, well, it didn't give us the result. And I do like the result. And I do think the field goal would have been made.
Yeah, I think so. It would have been about a 30, 27 yarder or 37 yarder. I just think that sometimes Dan Campbell, and I love him and I think he's a great coach. I just think he goes for it without thinking. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you use the word stubborn. I don't think he's stubborn as much as, and maybe this is stubborn. It just he's got a philosophy that he believes in and is committed to, and it's kind of like, well, you either believe this or you don't. So I think he believed they'd get the touchdown, and they didn't, and so we'll
Yeah.
have more of those debates or discussions, no doubt. Bill, I want to, if I was given game balls, I'll tell you, this game, I want to go back to the defensive backfield for a minute. Think back to the Ravens game, and we went into that. I think you had picked the Ravens to win. Most of the experts did. We knew we're going into a juggernaut. And we sack Lamar. We listened to that. I didn't sack anyone, but the Lions sacked Lamar Jackson 7 times and bottle him up. And I remember just feeling like that was incredible. And I had the exact same feeling, even more so Monday night, watching these D-backs. But what about the play where I forget, was it Harper or Hallett that literally stole the ball from Otten, their tight end, as he's trying to catch it? And I'm
Right.
thinking, man, you got to throw the flag. That's reversible. And it was. How about that play? I'd give a game ball right there.
Yeah, if there was a momentum turning play, that was one.
Then the punch out, which was so clean. I think that was
Right. It
Robinson again.
was. It was.
That was so clean. And then I think you made the point earlier, but Jahmyr Gibbs isn't going to run for 100 plus yards like that without some amazing offensive line play. And I got to tell you, I think Penei Sewell, I think he's the best player on the team, not the most valuable. I think if we lost Goff, That would be the biggest loss. But Penei Sewell is just incredible.
You know, there were some preseason prognostications that had Penei Sewell being the offensive player of the year.
Yeah. And that's
that would be something to give it to a defensive or offensive tackle. Yeah, he's amazing. Did you see him on that when on the screen pass where Gibbs got tackled at the 5 yard line? He was running right ahead of him.
Right. His contributions are enormous, and when you get guys running like they are, and you get pass protection and stuff, that you don't win without that. So,
right.
But a couple other things. Oh, go ahead.
I mentioned Jameson not getting open, but you know he's not pouting about it. He's blocking downfield on these runs. Khalil Raymond is blocking downfield, so the wide receivers are participating in these offensive plays from the running backs, which Troy Aikman made the observation that you don't get these long runs unless everybody's bought in and the wide receivers have to be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bill, I've got a couple more points. I thought it was great to be back at Ford Field, you know, just hearing the crowd, the excitement, the black uniforms, just all everything about that. The helmets. By the way, I said I'm here traveling in Michigan. I was actually walking through a mall today, and they had a lot of sporting good places, and I saw those black helmets. I almost bought one, but I didn't. But and then, you know, another thing, Bill, before this game, there was so much talk about how beat up Tampa Bay is, and they were, and we didn't think Williams would play, and he did and got hurt again. We didn't think the wide receiver from Ohio State, is it Aguda? I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly, but who's been possible rookie of the year this year. They thought there's no way he's going to play. Well, they both played, and then they had a linebacker they didn't think was going to play that did. And so I'm making a point here. You know, they were still pretty beat up, and I think probably had four injuries at some level during the game. I think you made the point or someone that the Cowboys had over 20 people injured, other teams. So that's I'm just bringing up what a fact that is of this game. And obviously the Lions got hit the worst of all teams last year. So, but because there was so much story about the Baker and their great receivers and the Lions beat up defensive backs, how that game played out with Tampa Bay just getting 9 points. Again, I'll always remember this game. So those are my additional comments.
Well, I think that 5-2 going into the bye, it's pretty good. Hopefully the Packers will lose tonight to the Steelers. I don't expect it, but I hope so. They're in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers, probably a little bit of a revenge game for him. So hopefully he'll come through and the Lions will be in first place in the NFC North again.
Yeah, folks. And as Bill said, tonight it's Pittsburgh and Green Bay, which means we're recording this on Thursday of the Thursday night game coming up. And we'll be back next week to talk about the Vikings. It's good the Lions have their bye week, Bill. And anything else you want to add before we wrap this one up?
No, I think that covers it for the week.
All right. Well, folks, you can find our website at the SHL for Secondhand Lions podcast.com. That's the SHL podcast.com. You can leave a comment there. We hope you share us with other people. Keep listening. We started this as two longtime fans of the Lions taking the journey with the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. Hey, buddy, it might be this year.
I hope so.
All right.
Looking
well,
good.
Feel better. I'll be back home in New Hampshire next week and ready to go to, I think, Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the Lions Vikings. All right.
All right.
For now.
Bye now.